Good evening, everyone. For those of you who are new, I'm Liana, Raina's wife. We're the leaders here at the church, a little girl in the mother's room. My hope is behaving. And we'll behave for another 2 hours. We'll see what Isabelle looks like afterwards. We'll know. We're going to do things a bit differently tonight. I'm so excited. I can hardly start. I said, Raina, I think we must just skip the sermon and get to the worship. I'm so excited to share with you guys tonight. There's really something specific that God has worked in me and given me to share, and something specific that I feel He wants to come and do in the church. And so have your hearts and your faith ready. I believe the Holy Spirit really wants to come and do something in us tonight. And therefore, I'm just going to be very short and I'm going to give over to the Holy Spirit. And I don't know if you guys, who of you were here about 3 years ago when we planted the church and we had the services, we had a few of them where we started worshiping and then people would have words and tongues and the Holy Spirit would speak, and eventually actually Raina wouldn't preach and just the whole service is kind of run by the Holy Spirit. Is anyone that was there yeah, at that time? Okay, quite a few people. So I am going to speak. I'm not as cool as the Holy Spirit. But we are going to give opportunity tonight. We're going to worship after I've shared the word, and we really know God's going to come and do something in our hearts. So the first thing, first, you guys know when you read the Bible, it always says, the letters always start off with such and such a person sends you greetings. We're writing from this and this place. So I'm going to do that tonight. I'm going to say we went to the pastor summit. I want to give you guys some feedback. So Chofas is a whole group of churches all over the world, and the headquarters are in Stellenbosch, for those of you who don't know. So once a year, all the pastors from all the different Chofas churches, we all get together. We have a pastor summit. It's very special. So many pastors from so many different places and just sharing. And I want to come and tell you guys, this is what I always feel after a pastor summit, and I always want to share it with you guys because you're not there, but I will bring the message to you. We have an amazing church. And I don't mean Shofar Ronimosh, I mean Shofar. And God is an amazing God, and every church is an amazing church, and God uses every church in its own specific way. But as a child of Shofar Church, I just really love my church. I want to tell you guys, when we get together, it's kind of, I think, around 50. How many pastors right now? About 50. So if your wives included, then it's probably about 100 people, all leaders of churches. We get together, we spend some time. Fred, the leader of Shofar, he shares his heart. This time, Rick Russo, Bayless Conley, they spend some sessions with us in training and sharing, and we all pray together. And it's really amazing to see what happens there and to see a movement where people are in unity and the leaders are in unity. And what's always so amazing for me is that's the time of the year when we all get together and we're all accountable, we share our hearts, people are so open to share. You know, this is what I'm struggling with, but this is what God is doing. And I feel really safe being in a body of churches where I know everyone is accountable, where I know people, there's true relationship. So I'm very excited. I do want to say at the Pastor Summit, eagles and owls featured a lot. So to whom does that mean something? Okay, who's been in church? We've had a lot of words in intercession and in church about owls and eagles, specifically a way in which God has been speaking to us. Also on the mission trip that God showed them eagles quite often, literally, to give certain messages. At the summit, they said last year at the Convergence Conference, Sias was walking outside and there was an eagle. God showing him his prophetic hand on the conference. And then this year, him and Anton, one of the other pastors, the two of them walked, and again, an eagle came. So just really God confirming his prophetic hand on the conference. So that was quite exciting to me. Then also at the conference, at the summit, a lot of speak about revival. So to whom does that mean something? Yeah, every time I say it, I'm like, yes, yes, I agree. Something interesting that Sia said that really struck me that I want to share, and it's pertinent to tonight as well. Sia said, the revival that God wants to bring is first going to be in us, in our own hearts. Unless a weed of grain falls into the ground and dies, it cannot be fruit. So that's something that really struck me. So I want to say we had a fantastic summit, and God is moving in the greater body of Shofar, and there's really so many things we can be grateful and excited about. Then I want to share with you guys just something that God's been doing in my heart over the last few weeks. So my little girl's gotten a little bit bigger, and I have a little bit more capacity to do things. So I've been asking God, you know, what is it you want me to put my energy, my time, my faith into? And I've been praying about where we're at. And one of the things God has said to me is he's very pleased with us as a church. So I really want to share that with you guys. I believe since the beginning of last year, God has really asked us to raise up as intercessors. He's asked us to become watchmen. And I really believe we have. And all of us in some ways have grown in our capacity to intercede. God has raised up specific intercessors, people who really, for this season, God put that on their hearts. So many people have gone through the core group, the discipling, been attending intercession. And I believe it's something that God has really activated in our church. And that, of course, cannot stop. That must go on. That wheel must keep on turning. But I really sense that God is pleased with that. And I'm also really excited about that. And that's going to keep on growing. And that will all still keep on happening in all our hearts. But now I felt God saying, together with that, he's also raising up the messenger. So he's raised up the watchman, and now he's raising up the messenger. So I had quite a few dreams about shoes, losing my shoes or not knowing where my shoes are. And then some other people in the church had dreams about shoes as well. And I started looking up what it meant. And shoes are the shoes of the readiness of the gospel of peace. And so shoes speak about reaching out, speaks about evangelism, speaks about the messenger. So God really putting on my heart that that's what he wants to come and do among us. Just when God was speaking to me about this, Sias asked to come and preach here. I don't know who was in his sermon a while back. Amen. And if you think about it, Fred Lucille and Sias, they are the main pastors of Shofar. So there are 50 Shofar churches, more or less, and there's 52 weeks in a year. So if they were, each one of them wanted to preach at every Shofar church once a year, it would mean that they preach at a different church every Sunday, which is not possible because they have to run the Stellenbosch church. So the most of the time they have to preach it. So just logistically, you can imagine that they can only preach at the other churches, say maybe once every third or fourth year. So normally we ask for them to come and preach, but then you literally have to wait like 6 or 8 months or maybe a year. So CS asked us to come and preach. Yeah. Okay. So that doesn't happen. So to me, that was so amazing. It was really as if God was confirming, because Sias is the calling on his life is that of evangelism. And what he was really coming to share was he was activating us to evangelism. And then, of course, whom of the small groups have had prophetic activation? Who's enjoyed it? Yes, I've heard some awesome testimonies. So Marichen and the team, they're going around to all the small groups. If they haven't been to yours, they will still be there. And what we did was we prayed for specific words, and then we wrote a number and the word. And then, like, each number is someone in the small group, but you don't know who it is. So I wrote the number, and I got the word, and I thought, this is an amazing word. I wish this word was for me. And when we handed out everything, and eventually when they read that number, it was me. And I thought that was so funny. And the word was, I'll share it with you, it was Psalm 2 verse 8. It says, I will give you the nations as your inheritance, and the end of the earth is your possession. And it's something which God has said to me before in my life. But then I really felt him confirming it over the church as well. He wants to give us the nations. He wants to give us the end of the earth as our possession. So the last indication for me was, and I saw this, I found this in my quiet time book. You guys know you must make notes when you have quiet time. Sometimes amazing to go back and read. Sometimes we don't realize how many of our prayers God answers. We're bad that way. We actually forget what we pray and we don't even know he answered us. And I remember, I saw in my book I wrote there, I believe this is what God is coming to do in the church, and I believe there's two keys to it, like two legs that a person walks on. And I believe that the one key he'll bring through Anton and the other one through Christelle. And this I saw after they preached. So Anton preached about the way, you know, specifically challenging us to a lifestyle of evangelism. And he's still going to come and finish his sermon because he didn't even get halfway through it. So I'm not going to speak about that tonight, just maybe touch on it. But of course, who remembers what Christelle spoke about? About rock solid love. You know, very good. Obedience, yeah. What else? Intimacy. Okay, she spoke about intimacy in the desert. She used the scriptures from Song of Solomon, and she really spoke about that place of intimacy that we have with God. I mean, I really believe this is a key for us in the next season. So just in terms of the watchman, the messenger, just already God have been raising up the watchman and now raising up the messenger. The specific scriptures that God have given me, the first thing he spoke to me about was the sickle. So he gave me the scripture in Joel. It said, let the nations be roused, let them advance into the valley of Jehoshaphat, for there I will sit to judge the nations on every side. Swing the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. This is really what I believe God is saying to us at this time. Trample the grapes, the winepress is full, the vats overflow, great is their wickedness. multitudes in the valley of decision. Okay, so it doesn't take a prophetic gift or discernment to see that Cape Town has multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. So there's so many people God wants to reach, and I believe now is the time that he's really raising us up to go there. And just five things that God has shown me. First thing he showed me was, I've planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. We must walk in that obedience. God is the one who makes it grow. God said to me, we need to pray for the harvesters. That's specifically what Jesus says in the scripture. He says, the harvest is ripe, but pray for the harvesters. I felt God said, the giants are killed, now take the land. Okay, so for the last 2 years, basically, we've really prayed, and we cannot stop. We will continue. But I believe in our prayer, in our prophetic obedience, a lot of giants have been killed. And I believe God is encouraging us by that we can actually go and take the land. Also, the harvest is white. Doesn't take a prophetic gift to see that. It's time to reap. And then also that the violent take it by force. It says the kingdom of God suffers violence, but the violent take it by force. There's some action on our part in a specific attitude of really going to get what God is giving us. Because as I said, to walk in the season, I felt God saying there's these two things. There's this evangelism lifestyle, this evangelistic heart, which Anton is still speaking about and will still finish. And then there's this, what I said, called intimacy in the desert. And I believe that's what God wants to come and establish in each one of us. That really, that place of intimacy with him. The reason why these two go together, it's actually quite obvious. If we have intimacy with God, we see his heart. The more we intimate with him, the more we become like him. So what is Jesus' heart for? The last. That's why we're on earth. If not for that, we would go to heaven, because why would we stay? There's no reason really other than that. So Jesus' heart is for the lost. If you know when Jesus says, take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We say that scripture to encourage ourselves not to make things heavy, you know, not to be oppressed. But it does say, take my yoke upon you. So what is the yoke of Jesus? It's the lost. That's what is the burden on his heart. So I believe a specific way, and you guys know that we were speaking at Convergence, the theme was the Key of David. Saw Lindy's awesome, awesome shirt there about the Key of David. spoken about Revelation 3, verse 7 to 8, it says, these are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the Key of David. So it is in Scripture. What he opens, no one can shut. What he shuts, no one can open. I know your deeds. See, I've placed before you an open door that no one can shut. Okay, so now the question is, what is the Key of David? And I believe there's more than one, and I'm not going to go into, I'm only going into one, actually. And I believe there's obviously a whole lot around the scripture, and I'm not going to speak about all of that tonight. Just going to speak about something very specific. But it doesn't say just, I give you a key. It says the Key of David. So what do we know about David? He was a type and a shadow of Christ. What else do we know about David? What comes to your mind? Oh, shout louder. Worshipper. He was a king, a man after God's heart. He was a warrior. Okay, so we know that David was a worshipper. We know he was a king, warrior, a man after God's heart. Acts 13, verse 22, I found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. Okay, so Jesus said that there's a specific key that he calls the Key of David. So it's something that David had. So when you have that key, you open doors, which no one can shut, and you shut doors, which no one can open. And I specifically speak tonight about opening doors. If you look at, we all know David was a worshipper. We all know from scripture he had a heart after God. If you see what was important to him, Psalm 27, verse 4 says, one thing I've desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Now, if you look at the life of David, he went and he captured Jerusalem from the Jebusites. And after he did that, that established him as a great king and a warrior. So after that, he could just go on and capture cities, which he did. But actually, right after he captured Jerusalem, the first thing he did was he made sure that the Ark of the Covenant was taken back to its rightful place. So the Ark of the Covenant represents the presence of God. If you look at this Psalm 27:4, where David said, "One thing I've desired, I'll seek. I may dwell in the house of the Lord. I may behold the beauty of the Lord. I may inquire in his temple." So he was speaking of being in the presence of God. And that's something that we know when we read about David. And when he took the Ark of the Covenant back, he instituted ministers to worship before the Lord day and night. Okay, so the worship in the Old Testament was ritual. It was specific songs, specific instruments, putting incense on the fire, putting specific sacrifices. But that is just a picture of our worship today. So some of the most important things to David were to be obedient to God. It was to worship, and it was to make a priority of the presence of God. Now, actually, I don't know if you know this or always think about it, but God actually wants his presence to be with us. Something interesting that I found was that in Genesis, in the very beginning, God created us to walk with him in the garden. So from the very beginning, he wanted his presence to be with us. We got removed from his presence because of sin. But even if you look at Revelation, right at the end, it says, "For now the dwelling of God will be with men, and he will be with them forever." So again, at the end of the story, we get to a place where we're fully in God's presence. The dwelling of God is with men, and he will be with them forever. So it's really God's desire for his presence to be with us. Okay, so one specific key that I'm going to look at tonight, and I'm almost done, actually, because what we're going to do is we're really going to connect with God tonight, and we're going to let it happen in our hearts, let him do it tonight. What I specifically felt God saying is, for this season where he's going to raise us up in evangelism as the messengers, he wants us to connect that intimacy with him, to have that connection with him. And a specific place where he wants to make that happen in our lives is in our worship. Okay, so tonight we're going to really worship God, and we're really going to connect to him. And because of that, what we're going to do tonight, I'm just going to give you a short description of what is praise and what is worship. You know, sometimes just when we understand what something is, then we actually know how to engage it. Okay, so praise, specifically, the word praise means to speak well of someone. So I can praise Ilse. I can say, "Ilse is a really good artist." Okay, so then I'm praising her. That's praise. Praise in the context to God is a decision. Well, praise actually always is a decision. It's not necessarily, you don't have to feel it. I don't have to, if I see Ilse's art and it's good, I don't have to feel it. I just say she's a good artist. It's not really, it doesn't have to be an emotion to me. So if we know that God is good, we know he's big, we know he's awesome, we can say God is good even when I'm not feeling it. Even in a moment when I'm really down maybe, or maybe I've trusted God for something which hasn't happened and I'm disappointed, but still I know God is good. I can still praise him. So it's just purely a decision, completely not based on emotions. It's a decision to speak well of God out loud. Praise is something that's external. So praise can always be seen. If someone is like, that's not praise, because you can't see what's happening. Praise is out loud. It's with exuberance and enthusiasm to others or to God about who he is or what he's done. So I can praise God towards Pena. If I tell Pena my testimony, I'm praising God, although I'm speaking to Pena, because I'm speaking out loud about how amazing God is. Alternatively, I can speak directly to God. God, you're so amazing. That's also praise, speaking directly to God. There's 7 Hebrew words for praise, and each one of them is outward, public, and vocal. Okay, so not one of the words for praise is something that's reflective or that you do within yourself. If you want those, I can email them to you. Halal, flash, force, light, be hallelujah comes from Yada, praise, give thanks, Tehillah, high praise, Shabbach, praise, Barak, bless, kneel, salute, Zamar, sing, play, musical instrument, and Torah, sacrifice of praise. That's the praise when you actually don't feel like it, but you praise. So what's the powerful thing about praise? Matthew 15, verse 11 to 18, it says, "It's not what goes into your mouth that defiles you, but what comes out of it." Okay. Also in Proverbs 18, verse 21, it says, "The power of life and death is in the tongue." Okay, so we know that what comes out of our mouth changes the atmosphere. Because Psalm 22 verse 3 that says that God is enthroned on our praises. So when we praise him, just by the words we say, even if we don't feel like it, or we feel emotionally into it, that's not the point. The point is just a decision. Just speaking the truth about God, regardless of what you feel like, the words that you say change the atmosphere around you. Makes the atmosphere conducive to God's presence. Because says Psalm 22 verse 3, God inhabits the praises of his people. So just when we're saying that, his presence actually joins us. Now for me, many years ago, 10 or so when I joined the church, that was the first time that I went to a shofar service. That's actually what struck me. I saw people praising and worshiping, and I could feel something so different. And I felt that change in the atmosphere as people were praising God. And I actually, that's what made me want to come back, because I saw it, and I saw that it was supernatural. Eventually what happens is, if we praise God, when the atmosphere changes enough, then our whole outlook on life changes. So the Bible says, the glory of the Lord covers the earth as the waters over the sea. So do we see all the war, all the economic problems, whatever is happening to the country that's negative? Is that our outlook on life? Or do we see the glory of God filling the earth? Because if we live in an attitude of praising and thanksgiving, then we see the glory of God. We see the testimonies. We see what God is doing. We don't see what he's not doing all the time. So the more we praise, the more that becomes a natural way of life for us. If you look at Psalm 100 verse 4, it says, get into the gates with thanksgiving and into the courts with praise. Okay, so when we come to God, we thank him for things that he's done for us. It's a picture of the Old Testament temple. First you go in the gate. When you're in the gate, then you have to go in the courts. So first you come with thanksgiving and then you go with praise. Now, the next part of the temple is the most holy, the holiest of holies. So you go in with thanksgiving, then you're in the gates, but you're still in the garden, into the courts. Then you go with praise into the courts, from the garden to the courts. Then to go into the holies of holies is actually what we call worship. Okay, so where praise was just a decision, worship is a response. Okay, so we can only worship what we know. We can praise someone that we don't know. You can praise God even if you don't know him, but you cannot worship him if you don't know him. Worship is when we see God, we experience his presence, we have a revelation from God, we connect to his heart, then we just respond. It's a natural response. Okay, the actual definition for worship is, there's two words obviously in the Old and the New Testament, shachar in the Hebrew, to make oneself low, reverence. So that makes sense, because if worship is a response to seeing God, obviously when we see God, we want to make ourselves low, because we understand who God is. Proskuneo in the Greek, to kiss toward, to, speaking of such intimacy, to prostrate oneself in homage, to do reverence, to adore. Okay, prostrate means to lie flat on your face on the floor. So if you think back to the Old Testament, where could they worship? Who knows? Temple? And what's this other one? Tabernacle. Okay. So in the New Testament, where's the temple? Inside of us. Kathleen made luck. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 16. So in the Old Testament, they worshipped in the temple, the tabernacle. In the New Testament, we are the temple. Okay, so we worship. In the Old Testament, the presence of God came in the temple and in the tabernacle as a glory cloud, often otherwise as well. But in the New Testament, we are the carrier of the Holy Spirit. We are the temple. So all of us can worship God at any time as we see him. Okay, of course, it says this in the very famous scripture, John 4. The woman at the well, Jesus said to a woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. Okay, so he's saying it's not restricted anymore to the temple or the tabernacle. But the hour is coming and now is when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. So what is the Father seeking? Worshippers. Okay, so there's a difference there. Not worship per se, worshippers. It's not so much what God wants us to do, it's what who he wants us to be. God wants us to become worshippers who worship in spirit and in truth. So if you look at what that actually means to worship in spirit, it just means we follow the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is very gentle, leads very softly. He's not bombastic or overbearing. So we need to respond to the Holy Spirit like a wife responds to a husband, gently. Song of Solomon 5, it speaks about the beloved, and he knocks on the door, and she says, but she's already taken off her shoes, she can't open the door now, and then eventually she gets up, and then he's already left. And it just gives that picture of so sensitive. We must be tuned to the Holy Spirit to hear what he's saying, and when he knocks, we must be ready to open. The Holy Spirit will never force us into worship. Psalm 32, verse 8 to 9, it says, do not be like a donkey or mule that needs to be bridled by the mouth. It says, I will guide you with my eye. Speaking of looking at God, looking at the Holy Spirit, connecting with his eye and being guided by him. Not forcefully like a mule having to be pulled around. And then, of course, God has given us a specific tool for this, to worship him in spirit. And that is singing in the spirit. Something that we'll explain a bit more now. Okay, so three scriptures. I'm going to read it slowly. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 26. What then shall we say, brothers and sisters? When you come together, each of you has a hymn, a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, an interpretation. Everything must be done so that the church may be built up. Okay, so the first one, God is saying when we come together, such as right now, God gives each one a hymn, a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or interpretation. Okay, so if you read the whole book of 1 Corinthians 14, it explains about the gifts. It also explains about how we should operate the gifts in church. And it gives very specific guidelines. Now, I really believe God gives each one, because it says, each one of you has a hymn, a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or interpretation, or a song, or a prophecy, etc. It's just giving that all those different ways in which God speaks to the body. I believe normally when we come together like this, God would probably give the same word to about 6 or 7 people. It doesn't mean all 6 or 7 of them have to share. Maybe one should share and maybe one confirm. But I believe in that way that God actually speaks to everyone. I mean, how many of you have you sat in a service, maybe in the worship, and you see a picture or you feel God saying something, and then someone else goes up and they share something similar? Who's felt that? See, that's because God speaks to all of us. He gives to each one a hymn, a psalm, a word of instruction. And I want to say on that, the way we do it in church, and the way that God wants us, you know, to also keep the order, so we don't all run up and share and it's just chaos, is we share with someone like Marna, Zoraina, or myself in front. You come and share your word. And I want to explain to you why we do that. And I want to explain to you also to not be scared of that. for me, when I was younger in church, quite a few times I would feel a specific word or vision. And CS was always in front. And I would normally come and tell him, and I don't remember how many times, but so many times, one after the other, he wouldn't let me share. So I was ended up thinking, I really can't hear God. Because every time he doesn't let me share, so obviously I'm, you know, it's not right what I'm hearing. So at some point I kind of gave up for a year, and I just didn't share anything. But actually now, being on this side of the pulpit, I want to explain to you guys what it is that we do. Okay, so when you lead the church, God actually gives you ability to see what he wants to do and how he wants to do it and in which order. And that's really, for me, it's something that you actually don't earn. It's not actually, so for instance, say for me, the ability to see that is not because I'm mature or gifted. It's just because I'm Reina's wife. It's like that simple. It really happened when I married him. The moment when I married him, I stepped into a specific office with him. And literally after we were married, I could see things about people in church. I just knew. It's not my gifting. It's not I'm so close to God, whatever. It's just the position that I have. I need that. So God gives it to me. It's that simple. And it's the same in church when it's like tonight when you run a service. You actually just know things that everyone else doesn't know, because that's how God works with authority. And that's why he asks someone to be the authority, so that there's a specific flow and a specific order, which is something which he wants to do. So when people come and share words, I mean, the Holy Spirit speaks to everyone. And when you come and share something, sometimes we know whether that thing is for now or whether it's for later. Sometimes when you hear something, that's actually just for you, and it's actually not for the church. Sometimes three people have already shared that word, and I do believe God will give 10 people the same word. But if three have shared it, then it's enough. Then we don't need the rest of the seven to also share it. We can just rather share the next word that God wants to give. So what I want to say is, and what I want to encourage you is, if, like we're going to do tonight, we're going to worship and we are going to give opportunity for words or songs or tongues or whatever God brings, if you feel to share something, I want to encourage you to come and share it with whoever the person is. It will probably be Raina tonight. And the thing is, this is how it is for me, which I, when I really, because to be honest, I was offended that CS kept on telling me not to share. On the one hand, I thought I must really like suck at this and really miss God. On the other hand, I thought maybe he just doesn't understand that I can also hear whatever. And I really had to work this thing through with God. And what I realized in the end was, because sometimes then I really feel God saying go. Like my whole heart is beating. God says go. And then I don't want to go. And eventually I'm like, okay, I'll go. And then I go. And then CS says, no, you can't share. Then I'm like, do you know how hard it was to get you? Like, I didn't want to come. I just did it because I had to. And what I realized is, and what God really worked in my heart was that if you feel to share something, your obedience is to come and share it with this person. That's it. If you did it, you were obedient. That's what you have control over. And then you trust this person who is leading the one of the leaders here to discern where that fits in. And then I want to tell you, if they tell you not to share, don't worry about it. Really don't. It could be that what you heard was for you. It could be that it's for later. It could be that it's been repeated quite a few times. It could be very many different things. But don't beat yourself up about it. You felt you should share, you shared. And for me, I learned after however many times. I learned when sometimes it was me and it wasn't God. And I learned when, okay, it is actually God. And you know how authority works, that if this person tells you not to share and it was actually word from God, that God will still make it work out, because that's the way God uses authority. He will bless the decision of the authority even if it wasn't the right decision. So you can really know, if you know you must share something, you bring it to this person, you were obedient, and then you know God will do what he needs to do, you can relax about it. On the other hand, I want to say that sometimes, often God says to me, in fact, when Anton preached, before he asked, God said to me, you now must share something. I knew it before he asked. I was in the mother's room. So when he said, there's someone here with a word, and I think he said it's a lady, I knew it's Yunal. Now I'm stuck in the mother's room, so I want to find her. But I think God made me be stuck there so that she could be obedient by herself. But on the other hand, I often know, like I often know, okay, now God has given someone a song, and no one comes. But I mean, I don't always know who it is. Can't go pull the person. So I know sometimes we do feel things that we also don't share, for whichever reason. But I want to encourage us to share and to trust just the way that it happens. And also, if you see someone else coming to say something and the person says, no, don't share, and they go sit, don't think to yourself, ooh, they probably didn't hear God or whatever. It's not that simple. And we must just all trust what God is doing. We all are obedient to what God shows us, and then we trust for the way that he is moving in the church. Does that make sense? Okay, second scripture, Ephesians 5:19. Speaking to each other in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Okay, so just God encouraging us how we can be in community. 1 Corinthians 14:15. So what shall I do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my understanding. I will sing with my spirit, but I will also sing with my understanding. So good conclusion there. We don't have time to do a whole teaching on singing in tongues, speaking in tongues, all of that right now. If maybe you're new, you're visiting, you're unfamiliar with that, I'm going to encourage you to go to Encounter One, explain it to you really well. We do believe in order in the church, and you know, go to Bible school if you want the full explanation. Can't go into that right now, but as a conclusion, Paul says, what shall I do? I will pray with my spirit, but I'll also pray with my understanding. I will sing with my spirit, but also with my understanding. Okay, so if we can watch that video, please, Esty. So when I watched this a while ago, I really witnessed what you were saying. And I mean, you guys would know that that is how we worship, to praise songs, da 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 da. And I know for myself sometimes when someone says we're gonna have 5 songs, then the first 2 songs I actually sit back and I wait for it to happen. I'm not connecting to God. I'm actually waiting for the band to rev me up, waiting for someone to make something happen. And I've been part of the band in a dancing capacity, and I can tell you, and I'm sure the band could tell you, they know what it feels like when they're pulling the church. Everyone's laughing. You know what it feels like when sometimes when everyone's like, and people. Everyone's really laughing, he knows. Or like if you don't want to be so obvious about it, you're like, but you're thinking about dinner or the week or whatever. And it's fine to struggle. We all struggle. We all get distracted. It's fine. It happens. We have to get beyond it. But I want to bring this challenge to us as a church. And I know that in this church, we actually really are worshipers already. And I want to encourage us, and I want to trust that we step onto that level. Like she says, what if we all get there already connected? Okay, so I'm going to do a little, I'm going to pray for us, and we can do a little exercise. And then we're going to worship. But I've asked the band not to start playing songs. Okay, so don't have an expectation that they're going to get you connected. I'm going to do a little exercise, and we're going to connect to Jesus right now. We're going to speak to him, and I'm going to help you with that. But then we're going to worship, and I've asked the band to fall away, and we're going to worship in the Spirit, where, you know, normally we sing this amount of songs and that amount of songs, and then we worship in the Spirit because then so many people are there. And really, it's true what she says. What if all of us are connected? Where could we go as a church when we worship God, when it doesn't take 5 songs for all of us to be connected? And whatever, if you're feeling any condemnation, then you're hearing me incorrectly. We all struggle, we all get distracted, but we're just going to trust God to crash through that tonight. And after we've prayed now, when we start doing that, first let me just say 2 things that I've missed. I said praise is something that can always be seen. Worship is something that cannot be seen necessarily. Okay, so I can actually be talking to you, and I can be worshiping and you wouldn't know. Or I could really like lie on the floor on my face and you could really think I'm worshiping, but I could be thinking about dinner. So worship is not something that you can't tell if someone else is worshiping or not. They know if they're responding to Jesus. And I want to say that I want to encourage you when we're going to worship now, to relax into God in that sense. Worshipping can be sitting as well. Worshipping can be dancing, but it can also be sitting. Don't pressurize yourself. I know sometimes when people tell me, everyone get up, do this, do that, and sometimes I really can't worship because I feel so pressured to do something specific. But I want to encourage you, whatever God leads you to do, I want to encourage you to have a boldness to do it tonight. If God tells you to dance, you've never danced before, then just do it. If God tells you to lie flat on your face, you've never done it before, just do it. Don't do anything that's going to harm someone or damage any property. But besides that, move as God leads you. And for a lot of us, I want to say, a lot of us, you're just going to have to move out of your seat, because often it's just you're so aware of the people around you and you're so stuck in that little space. And when we worship, you're welcome to move out. And, you know, if you need some space, there's a lot of space over there, for instance, somehow on that side. The testimony on that is I went on an outreach in Malawi, and we had a service in a village, and we started at 9 and we started worshiping. And by 11 we were still worshiping. And they had a keyboard with really bad sound, like that. And really out of tune. And I'm very unmusical. I sing completely out of tune, and I can't really tell when people sing out of tune. So when I say it's really out of tune, it's like really out of tune. It's a very small building, so the sound was like reverberating. So it was just excruciating, actually. And of course, they put it on the loudest that it can go, and then everything distorts as well. So we worshiped from 9 to 11, and I kept on telling myself, I actually just want to go outside. But I said to myself, what is it with me? Why can I not worship God? you know, why am I needing a great band to worship God? And I kept on. It was such a struggle for me. And I know that service changed me because we went on worshiping till 2. So worship was that sound for 5 hours. And it was very hot and there was a lot of mosquitoes. But that was such a challenge for me as a Christian to know, what am I relying on when I'm worshiping God? Is my worship a response to God's presence? And as a Christian, do I know how to connect with God and get into His presence? Or do I need an atmosphere to make it happen for me? So that was kind of a shift in my life, but God's going to shift a lot of us and all of us tonight. Wherever we're at, He's going to come and shift us. Okay, so please close your eyes. I'm going to pray for us. The band can come up so long. Okay, now I want you to picture Jesus in front of you. And just, He's facing you, He's standing in front of you, and He's holding out His hands, they're closed. And in His hands, He's got something for you. Okay, so it can be anything, don't be surprised at what it is. But now He's opening His hands, and I just want you to look at what He's giving you. So for each person, it will be something specific, and just make a note of what He's giving you. Sometimes it can be something really weird, if it's like bicycle or ice cream or something very spiritual, something very unspiritual, doesn't matter. Okay, and then I want you to ask God, why is He giving that to you? So I want you to ask that out loud, and then you hear what He answers you. Okay, you have to let your lips have to move when you ask God that. Okay, then I want you to note what He answers you, and then whatever He answered you, ask Him another question about it. So for me, if, for instance, He gave me a bicycle, I would say, Jesus, why did You give me a bicycle? Maybe He would say, I thought You would like it. And then I'll say, so why did You think I would like it? So whatever He says to you, ask a question back and do that a few times and note what He says to you. Okay, now God has revealed something to you to be thankful for. Okay, so just thank Him for whatever He gave you. Maybe speak to Him about it. Ask some questions. The band's going to start playing. As I said, we're not going to go into specific songs yet. Now I want you to just connect with Jesus and worship Him. So however He leads you, you connect to Him. You sing in the Spirit if you want to. And just connect with Him.